Well, we are in a series right now all about the story of Joseph. And so if this is your first time today, man, I'm excited that you're here. I'll kind of try to catch you up, but I would encourage you, get caught up. Because the life of Joseph is one of the most interesting stories, but I also think one of the more profound stories. And we've made the connection. A lot of this has a kind of a similar story to what Jesus walked through. And so today we're going to move. And this will be the exciting part, the part of the story like, ooh, this is getting good, because he moves from the pit to the palace. But one of the characteristics that I think is important as we kind of talk through today is wisdom. Now, to kind of get us where we ended last week, here's where it is. Genesis 40:23 says this: the chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. 13 years of moments like this. Things just not going the way he wanted to. And this is the moment where he thought, all right, this could be it. Because to give you a little context, the cupbearer was sent to prison by Pharaoh, his boss, and gets there. Joseph takes care of him. He even tells him, hey, you had this dream. Here's what this dream means. And when you go to Pharaoh, I want you to remember me. So here, just to give you the words, here you go, verse 13 and 14. Here's what it says. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position, and you'll put Pharaoh's cup in his hand, just as you used to do when you were his cupbearer. But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I've done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon. I like this part of the scripture because I think it really shows Joseph's humanity. It's the first time where I think you get to see his emotions, where he's tired. God, I'm trying to do the right thing. I'm trying to do this the right way. And he sees this opportunity with the cupbearer, like, you're going to go before Pharaoh. I'm tired of being in prison. I'm tired of living in this dungeon. I know God has something better for me. Have any of you ever been there? I think all of us have. And you get the raw emotions from him, and he's going, this is it. This is the plan. Trying to almost make it like, this is where it happens. This is where God starts to really do something. I don't know if you've had those moments, but I have. Like when you're not happy with life is going, and then you are sitting in this moment going, all right, God, here's what I think. And every little moment you start to put together, God's doing this. Okay, God's doing this. And this is Joseph in this moment going, this is it. He's going to go before the Pharaoh, and Pharaoh's going to call me up and we'll get everything changed. Genesis 41, where we'll spend most of the rest of our time. When 2 full years had passed. 2 full years. Now, you think about this, Joseph's probably sitting in the dungeon. All right, day one. All right, cupbearer, Pharaoh probably having a conversation. Day two, day three, day four. All right, hopefully it's happening. Day 10. Day 40, it's probably like, man, the paperwork must be taking a long time. Like, let's get this rolling. At what point would you have been day 100 just going, God, what? Why? You ever felt like you had the right wisdom, the right knowledge, and you thought this is how it plays out, and then life throws you the curveball, and you're like, wait, why? That's what Joseph felt in this moment. Tired of being in the dungeon, thought the cupbearer would be the answer, but then he sits in the dungeon 2 more years. We talked about, hey, what do you do while you're waiting? And he did that, but there's also this moment where he's just like, I'm tired of waiting. God, what do I do with this? I thought this was the right move. I thought this was the right wisdom to have. And I want to spend a little time with wisdom because I think there's an important thing to recognize. We could talk about knowledge and wisdom, but I think there's a very big difference in this. Knowledge being, hey, you know maybe what's going on. Knowledge being like a diagnosis. But wisdom and discernment is this. It tells us what to do with what is going on and is directed to the cure. I would even say one of the things I see a lot of us lacking, and I'm not talking just us here, but also just in our culture across this world, is we lack wisdom and discernment. Prime example. We just had politics play out. We're voting on governors. We're voting on who would be politicians in this. And I heard this quote and I thought it was good. Poets, politicians, Think of all the main people who, like, scientists. They have the knowledge of going, here's what the problems are. And then all of them come up with their own solutions, right? And some of us get tired of going, you say that, but it never happens. So knowledge is going, yeah, you know the problem, but wisdom is actually, can you get to the solution? Can you get to the actual answer? Can you get us where we need to go? Funny example in this. Let's talk about a tomato for a little bit. Knowledge, based on science, tomato is a fruit. The way it grows, the way it's put together, it's a fruit. But wisdom tells you, don't put it in a fruit salad. Okay? Don't put it with the apples and the berries because it's just not going to taste right. And all of us go, yeah, that makes sense. But think about this. Think about who gave us the ability to do that. And that's God. He goes, knowledge is important, but what I really want to show you, what I really want you to know is what to do with that knowledge and create wisdom and discernment of being able to make choices. Because the reality is we have all faced moments like Joseph. We're going, God, I'm so lost. I'm confused. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to solve this. I don't know how to fix this relationship. I don't know how to have the wisdom. And God goes, it's okay. Let me lead you, because Proverbs 9:10 gives us a little instruction on this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The fear of the Lord. Now, let me be very clear. If this is the first time hearing the scripture, I want to explain fear, because sometimes that can be a confusing word. Most of the time we think of fear, we're thinking of it being scary or something that we would try to avoid. Fear in this, the words we're using would be more reverence, awe, recognizing that God, your ways are higher than my ways, your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. Recognizing that actually the only way I can experience wisdom in this world is coming from you, who has it, created it, and gives us to all of us. And so that's where it has to start, is being willing to say, God, I recognize who you are and I recognize who I am. Now, the beautiful part is this. God is willing to provide his wisdom to those who ask. So if you're willing to have that fear, then he'll go, ask for it and I'll give you it. Because I think the first part, if you're willing to ask, then here's the thing that it will require of us. It requires that reverence. Because I think too often we like to be really smart. We like to be wise. But the reality becomes is you are not wise enough to solve all the things you're going to walk through in life. One of the traits that Joseph is given to him is how wise he is. But you'll notice that as he's matured, especially when we cover this chapter, you'll notice that he does not take the credit. He gives the credit to the Lord. So let's get into Genesis 41. Here's the context of what's going on. It said in that scripture, Pharaoh had a dream. 2 years later, Pharaoh had a dream. Here's the dream, just so you know what it is. When 2 years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. He was standing by the Nile. When out of the river, there came up 7 cows, sleek and fat, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, 7 other cows, ugly and gout, came up out of the Nile and stood beside those on the riverbank. And the cows that were ugly and gout ate up the 7 sleek and fat cows. To me, when I was reading it, sleek and fat are just unique words to put together to me, okay? Just want to throw that out there. All right. Todd's thoughts for the day. All right. Then Pharaoh woke up. He fell asleep again and had a second dream. 7 heads of grain, healthy and good, were growing on a single stalk. After them, 7 other heads of grain sprouted, thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the 7 healthy, full heads. Then Pharaoh woke up and realized it had been a dream. So he has this. I don't know if you guys have had dreams. Some of us have probably had very vivid dreams. Some of us forget all of our dreams. Regardless, Pharaoh has this dream and it shakes him. You would think, man, it's just cows and some stocks. Like, what's the big deal? Like, move on in your day, you're fine. But he can't get over it. And you'll find out later why, is because God's given him this dream. It is a prophecy of things to come. But no one, because it's shaken him, and so he calls all of his wise people, all the people that he would be like, hey, guys, come here, help me. I've had this dream. And he shares the dream with them. And they all kind of look at him like, dude, that's weird. They can't help him. The interpretation of that dream was God's to give. And so everybody that Pharaoh knew, and nobody could give it. No one could give him the answer. All of a sudden, the cupbearer goes, oh, shoot. I know a guy. And cupbearer's like, I am a horrible person. Literally, you could read this. And he's like, I'm so sorry. Pharaoh's like, what are you talking about? He's like, there's a young Hebrew man I know. He's in prison. He interpreted my dream, and I think he could be helpful because we're getting nowhere here. And so Pharaoh's like, okay, we'll go get him. So look at this in the next scriptures here. So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. Catch how cool that is. Waited 2 years. And then when God starts getting things in motion, it happens like that. When God starts, this is the timing. You'll be amazed at how quickly it moves. Joseph being tired of the dungeon, and then boom, seconds later on that day. Just think, he wakes up that day, and all of a sudden, later that day, he's standing before Pharaoh. Not only that, new clothes, shaven, everything. He's like, man, I finally feel clean. All of it. All coming to this, like, this is what I've been dreaming about. This is what I've been wanting to happen. And when he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have a dream, and no one can interpret it. But I've heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. Now, put yourself in Joseph's shoes. How quickly would you be like, absolutely, I can. I can do this. Here's the deal. If I do it, can I please be released from prison? You know that's thoughts coming through your head real quickly. You would start negotiating. You're going, this is the wise move. All the world would tell you, dude, this is your opportunity. Seize it. Verse 16. I cannot do it. Joseph, no. You don't say that. That would be the world's wisdom. Joseph replied to Pharaoh, but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. You remember, this was the young boy at 17. Who is telling his brothers, not with wisdom, hey, I'm going to be your king someday. You're going to be bowing down to me. And now Pharaoh's saying, hey, I hear you can interpret dreams. He goes, it's not me. It's God. Do you see the wisdom that is now in him? And it's transforming how he's perceived, who he is, and it's transformed him. But there's one characteristic that stands out. God's wisdom, this godly wisdom, requires humility. The humility part of this is Joseph goes, I'm not here to take the credit for it. He didn't take the credit for the dreams being interpreted, didn't take the credit even with the cupbearer and the baker, Pharaoh, and he's like, no, it's not me, it's God. And so you've got to sit in this, and when it comes to wisdom, when it comes to knowledge, and even discernment, do you give yourself more credit than you deserve for that? I'll give you an example in my life that I've had to learn, and it's humbling in a lot of ways. Is I remember when I first got here, I mean, youth pastor David had just hired me, and within the first 2 years, we started to experience some growth. It was incredible. And I'd been the youth pastor for 2 years and was loving it. And David's like, hey, I think we need to hire a family pastor, a next gen pastor. And I was like, okay, it's great. And then in my brain, I had this thought, that sounds like a pretty good position. I think I'd like that. I'd like the idea of being over all of students and kids. And so I said, went up to David and just said, hey, I would like to put my name in for that. Mind you, I think I was probably like 25 at the time. No kids either, okay? Should definitely be the family pastor. I can look back and laugh at myself now, okay? But at the time, I really had these thoughts of like, I think I could do this. I think this is where God's leading me. It's all connecting now. It's all like, we've had these thoughts, okay? Don't look at me like you've never had these, all right? David, in his wisdom, I'd say God gave it to him, took me on the walk, I'll call it, okay? And he just walked with me in a very loving way, said, Todd, I don't think this is right for you. This is not the right position for you right now. I'd love for you to learn more just being a student pastor. And in that moment, did it feel great to hear that? No. But I also had a responsibility in that moment because I could respond with pride and go, David, you don't know. You don't understand. I think I deserve that. But I also had to learn God's no's are equally as good as God's yeses. And remember, Joseph for 13 years kind of heard no. No, not right now, not right now, not right now. And then you wait for God's yes to come. But that takes humility. That takes going, I don't know what the best answer is, God does. And so if people I trust and believe in tell me no, then I should probably listen to them. And I can tell you, they were right. David eventually hired a family pastor. His name was Norm. And one of the best mentors I had of just teaching me what it means to lead people, what it means to be a pastor. I needed that. I got another mentor in my life. And being able to take now different positions at the church, God prepared me for that. But it takes humility in that moment to allow God to speak that wisdom into you. Because it'd be very easy to run and go do your own thing then. And this is the battle you have. Will you trust God or will you go, nope. And you can use God as like, nope, I think they didn't hear God. They don't know God. I do. You see how pride starts to take in there too. So that's why you have to have this humility and has to trust. God is talking to these people. God is leading them. And I understand it's tough because sometimes it's like, okay, God, do I actually take that position? And here's the tough part about that sermon. There's times you should. But you have to have godly wisdom to be able to do that. And it only comes from God. You have to have the relationship with him to be able to discern that and know that. But there's another piece to this, because you need humility. But go back to the story. So now Pharaoh shares the whole dream with Joseph. And Joseph starts to go, let me interpret this for you. This is what God's trying to tell you. And this is why you could tell God gave him this dream, is because the fat cows and the healthy stocks represented 7 years of abundance. And then the ugly ones, the scorched ones, represent 7 years of famine. So he's like, God is trying to tell you, Pharaoh, like, you've got to prep for this. You've got to be ready for this. And then Joseph goes straight into, and here's a plan. I would recommend you put somebody in charge. Didn't say himself. He recommends, Pharaoh, I just recommend you put somebody in charge that can do this. And so you'll see this in the verses where he starts to kind of give a plan. And now, Pharaoh, look for a discerning and wise man and put him in charge of the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh appoint commissioners over the land to take a fifth of the harvest of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance. They should collect all the food of these good years that are coming and store up the grain under the authority of Pharaoh to be kept in the cities for food. This food should be held in reserve for the country to be used during the 7 years of famine that will come upon Egypt so that the country may not be ruined by the famine. You're looking at this like, Joseph, great plan. Well, you can tell, like, God is leading all of this. But here's the other part to this. You got humility, and you even see it in there. He's not telling, hey, I know a wise man, this guy, you know. He's just saying you need to find someone. You're in charge. God's put you in charge. You choose. But the other thing is godly wisdom requires obedience. Here's the part I want you to recognize, is that in those 2 years he waited, what if he tried to escape prison in some other ways. I don't think any of us would have blamed him. If that opportunity would have came, been like, oh yeah, you got to take it. But he wouldn't have been where he needed to be when the cupbearer says, oh, hey, Pharaoh, there's this guy. He's in prison. And where do they go? He's right there and he's ready. Part of the obedience is being able to go, God, you told me to wait. I will keep waiting. Part of the obedience is also, while I wait, I'm going to keep working at the skill sets that you were putting in front of me. Because for Joseph to have that plan, you may go, man, did this guy just... No, recognize, when he was under Potiphar, which was one of his bosses, he had to lead a whole household. What does that take? That's management. That's logistics. That's administrative work. And then on top of that, he gets sent to prison for nothing, for doing nothing. And then prison, the warden's like, hey, you're really good. I'm going to let you lead the whole prison. Went from a household to a prison. More people, more logistics, more administrative work. So then he's obedient throughout all of that. Pharaoh has this dream. He goes, hey, I know what that is. And here's the solution, because I've actually done a lot of logistics administrative throughout my whole life. He could have quit at any moment. He could have thrown in the towel and said, I'm done. I don't want to do this. But he stayed obedient. God, I don't want to do it your way. But he stayed obedient. And so that's the challenge for, I think, for all of us. Okay, one, do we have the humility? But also, with that humility, do we have the obedience to keep doing the things God wants us to do? Because that's hard. God, I don't want to forgive. I don't want to give. I don't want to serve. I don't want to do these things. Partly because I'm living in a dungeon right now. And God's going to go, hey, are you willing to do it? Do you love me? Do you believe that I'm good? These are character building moments. It's like that dad talk we don't want to have. I have it with my kids, you know, like after a game is done and they're frustrated or they said something they shouldn't have said. And I was like, hey, and they're like, I don't want to talk about this, you know. But those are good parenting coaching moments. God does the same thing with us. He's going to go, life is not going to be easy. But will you be humble and will you be obedient? Will you do the right thing when it matters? And so, if we're going to look at what godly wisdom requires, just to sum it up, just so far, a heart that fears God, seeks his guidance, and obeys his word in humility. That's our part. That's the part I think we can control. We just go, okay, God, I want your wisdom. I can't produce it myself. This life is way too hard to figure out on my own. So I'm going to have work on a heart that fears you. I'm going to seek your guidance. I'm going to obey your word constantly with humility. But so far, if you sat in the sermon, you've noticed on we focused on what we have to do. There's one last part that I think is the biggest point to this whole sermon. And go back to Genesis 41, because I want you to see Pharaoh's response. The plan seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his officials. So Pharaoh asked them, can we find anyone like this man, one in whom is the Spirit of God? That phrase is pretty profound, because it's actually the first time you see in Scripture that's a reference to someone being full of the Spirit of God. Full of the Holy Spirit. And I'll dive into that more, but we'll kind of finish. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has made all this known to you, there's no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you. There you go, pit to the palace. He is now second in command. But the reason is because Pharaoh saw the Spirit of God in him. When we have this conversation, I'm alluding to being full of the Holy Spirit. This conversation can go down a lot of different roads. And some of you are like, Todd, I grew up Pentecostal. Are you going to start telling me we need to speak in tongues? Like, what are we talking about here? Well, I want you to recognize that in this moment, the Holy Spirit used a man whose gifts was administrative work. So being full of the Holy Spirit does not always mean you're preaching from stage. Being full of the Holy Spirit does not mean you just speak in tongues. I think those are gifts, but God ultimately is going, I've given all of you gifts. Will you allow the Holy Spirit to use them to where your wisdom starts to show? There's a Spirit of God coming out of you because God has transformed you. I'll give you moments where I've had in my life where I've sat across people and I've prayed for them and I say this prayer and I'm like, that's not me. I'm not that good. And they look at me like, what did you just say? I go, that's the Spirit of God. Moments in counseling where I've sat there and said these things and I'm like, man, I need to practice what I just preached. That was good. And they're like, that's exactly what I needed to hear. It's the Spirit of God. So let me say this, you can only receive godly wisdom through the Holy Spirit. And I think that's probably the more challenging part of this. God wants you to be filled with his Holy Spirit. God wants you to be led in that way. But too often we treat wisdom like, God, can you just tell me what I need? And then I'll just go do it. And God's going, no, I want to walk with you. I want you to learn to depend on me. I want to teach you throughout all of this. Joseph spent 13 years building that kind of character and building it to where he is now led by the Holy Spirit. And all Pharaoh can see is like, you are full of God's Spirit. Think of this, this actually happens in the New Testament too with Jesus. Jesus is teaching his disciples and showing them. And these are some of the last words he left with them. This is Acts 1, 4 through 5. On one occasion while he was eating with him, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. When you have heard me speak about, what you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. We're gonna cover more of this in the podcast because there's a lot to unpack with the Holy Spirit. But here is, if I was just gonna give you some basic things to think about, is recognizing Joseph at 17 was not quite there yet. But God walked him through this powerful transformation to where you see him at 30 standing before Pharaoh, and all Pharaoh can do is like, man, you have confidence. You know who you are. And God is leading you in profound ways. The disciples, think about this. Before Jesus goes to the cross, and then even after the resurrection, there is this moment to where they're scared, they're running away from the Lord, they have no confidence, they couldn't share a message before the Pharisees. Holy Spirit comes upon them, what happens? They start going into areas of the Pharisees, and their Pharisees look at them like, how do you have this confidence? Who are these guys? What I want us to experience is that wisdom that we go, this is not me, this is God transforming me. The reason I'm able to see that and think through that and process that is because I've been walking with the Holy Spirit for these last few years and I see now what he's doing. I'm able to connect it. And so the question becomes, yes, I want us all to have that wisdom, but maybe the better question is are you full of the Holy Spirit? Have you ever asked that in your prayers? Because if you are full of the Holy Spirit, it will begin to lead you towards, I want to be more like God. There'll be this fire in your heart that will help you navigate. Think of Joseph's life, 13 years of toughness to get to this moment to go, this is what God promised me. That's how the Holy Spirit led me to this moment. I think about whatever you've gone through, whether it's been tough family dynamics, tough marriage, tough jobs, tough whatever, and God's going, let me work you through it to you becoming the character full of wisdom and discernment because the Holy Spirit is living through you. Is he that kind of friend to you? And so I want to spend the rest of our time giving you the opportunity to respond. Possibly a simple prayer can be say, God, I want your filling of the Holy Spirit in my life. I want to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. to where he overtakes me. And just like you come out of the water and you're new and it's washing away sins, you come out of this and you're going, I'm changing. I am maturing. I am growing. I am becoming the man God wants me to be. I'm becoming the woman God wants me to be. All because at the core of me, I'm starting to be, I'm his child. And he loves me. And the only reason I can do this is because Jesus Christ died on the cross, rose from the grave so that I can do this, so that I can be transformed. Church, does that excite you at all? Because it does for me, okay? And I understand when we talk about the Holy Spirit, you kind of go, this is a weird conversation. I hope it doesn't become weird. If anything, he becomes a friend to you. A friend that gives you thoughts, that gives you encouragement. The Bible describes him as a comforter, an advocate. He goes, do you know who Jesus is? Because he'll change your life so that you can walk with the Father. And he can lead you into a life that you go, it's tough, but man, is it worth it. And now I know where God's taking me. Some days it's confusing. Some days it's hard. But there is a friend who's telling me, you've got this. You may be in a pit now, but a palace is coming. And so that's the beautiful part. Joseph's story shows us not only how powerful Jesus is, but how much we need the Holy Spirit too. And so, this was the hardest part as I was preparing. I didn't know how to end this. Partly because I want all of you to experience the Holy Spirit. But I can't make that happen. All I can do is pray and ask that we would experience something like we see in the Bible, that the disciples got to experience, that Joseph got to experience. And it begins to change your life in a profound way that you start looking and going, if that's who God is, if that's who he wants me to be, Holy Spirit, come and fill me. And so in this response time, it may be just a prayer. You may need to come and kneel and just say, God, bring it. And so as we sing, I'd ask, pray that the Holy Spirit will fill you and give you the wisdom and discernment and so many other characteristics that God wants to give in your life. Let me pray for us. God, I thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for Joseph's story. And as much as we need humility, you're right, we need obedience, but the way we learn that is through your Spirit working in us and through us. And so right now, I pray that, Spirit, you do your work that you do. May you fill people in incredible ways. And I understand they may have so many questions. They might not fully understand it. I don't think Joseph did. I don't think the disciples did. But all they did was say yes to the Spirit being in their lives. And so, God, I pray in this moment that that would be us. We would just simply be your faithful servants to say, God, if you want us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I ask that that would be me. May I learn to live in that way. May I learn to walk in that way. And I know for me, it scared me. I didn't know what all that meant. But I pray we would have the courage to be obedient and the humility to go, God, your ways are better than my ways. If this is what you want, may your will be done in my life. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come and may we respond in profound ways. We pray all this in your name, Lord. Amen.